Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Mr. J.D. Reeder, who's the host of The Reader's Notebook here on WMKY, but also a playwright and director. J.D., thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Leanne. Thanks for having me today.
Now, you have a show opening this weekend with the Morehead Theater Guild, Dining with the Dead, which is sufficiently spooky for the month of October. Tell me a little bit about this show.
Well, thank you. Dining with the Dead is an unusual concept. It's a three-part event that begins with a drama at the Old Town Cemetery, just adjacent to the MSU campus behind Reed Hall. That drama lasts about an hour, and in it, about 24 or so of the persons buried there will talk with the audience and tell their stories. After that, the folks attending will go to the Art Center for a meal. That's the dining part of the name of the event. And then following that, at about 9 o'clock, those who would like to can go on about a one-hour-long ghost walk at various locations around town and on campus where creepy things have happened in Morehead's colorful past.
Now, this is a play that you wrote, and you've produced it before, but tell me a little bit about who are some of the people that we're going to meet.
Yeah, I developed this for production originally in 2011, and it was very well received. We did it again in 2014, and now 5 years later, folks have been asking for it, so we're going to go at it again. There are about 100 people believed to be buried in the little cemetery, and about half of those graves are marked with readable headstones. Among the people who were buried there are folks who were killed in the famous Rowan County feud in the 1880s. There are ancestors of Moreheadians who live here presently, among whom are Mr. and Mrs. John Woolham. They originated in Jackson County, Ohio. They have descendants who live in Morehead, but their most famous descendant does not live here because they are the great-great-grandparents of Cincinnati Reds catching legend Johnny Bench.
Oh, and that's interesting.
Yeah, we thought so. We hear from both Mr. and Mrs. Woolham and very briefly from three of their children.
Okay. And some of those feud members, well, I guess I remember because I came to see it when you guys produced it before in the cemetery, and it seems like there's a lot of tragedy in Morehead's history.
Well, there is. The feud in the 1880s was a terrible time. Oh, 20 people were killed. Almost that many were wounded. The population of the town was depleted as people fled for their lives, seeking safety in other places. Once that was over in 1887, the town did experience a comeback. There was a huge building boom here, and they did recover. But the time in which the cemetery was receiving burials, mostly in the 1870s, 80s, and 90s, was a time when life was not easily clung to. Mortality rates were high for every age group, and death was a constant companion. So because of that, many of the stories that are told are poignant. There is, for example, a young bride. Her name is Emma Daniels. She and her husband were married only a few months when she died suddenly. Her husband was so brokenhearted that for the remainder of his life, which was 43 years, apparently he never considered remarrying because he remained a widower.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, there are lots of children buried there. And this year there's a new monologue devoted to the very young ones who didn't have enough of a life story to create a full-length treatment. They are recalled in a little piece done by the younger children in the show called The Littlest Ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they remind us that in a typical family of the time of six or eight children, it would be very unusual if they all lived to adulthood.
Mm-hmm. Just because they didn't have the medical advancements, mostly.
Yes, if you think about a time when there were no antibiotics, there were no immunizations, and things that we would find easily treatable today, like a bad sore throat or measles or whooping cough or diphtheria, which have been eliminated by vaccination, those things were constantly there threatening the lives of young people. Mm-hmm. For older people, the common scourge of the time was either typhoid because of foul water or tuberculosis, mm-hmm. sort of the plague of that era.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, so the littlest ones, that scene is new. Are there any other new characters that we're introduced to? Because I know you as a writer love to tweak.
Yeah.
And so I assume that you would add some people in.
There are. Altogether, there are 39 monologues in the collection. These are about children and adults who accumulated enough of a life history for me to glean the material necessary to get about a two-minute monologue from each of those. Well, 39 is too long to do, of course. So we had to trim down to 24, 25 at the most for production. But for this year's rendition, we are doing 7 monologues that have never been heard before.
Oh, wonderful.
And we also have 17 people in the show who have never been in it before. So even if folks have seen it before, it's new all over again, or right. sort of new.
There are definitely new aspects.
Yeah.
Now, you've researched all these different people pretty extensively in order to glean that information. Do you have a favorite character or favorite, I guess I shouldn't call them a character because these were real people.
Yeah, they are real people, and they are characters, too, I've learned. Some of my favorites are those who died by violence and who offer to the audience advice on how to avoid the same fate. One of these is a man named John Witcher. Witcher was married to a girl named Aurelia Lane, and they were related by marriage to the Tolliver family that was involved in the famous feud here. And John Witcher was a young man who found himself attracted to the mystique and the romance of these violent men. It reminds me of some of the people in the 20th century who had a similar leaning toward mafia families.
Right.
They knew they were dangerous. They knew it was courting disaster to be associated with these people. But because of the attraction, they couldn't help it. And John Witcher found himself in that situation, and he paid for it with his life. One story of his death by gunfire in a saloon on what was then called Railroad Street in Moorhead has it that it was purely an accident. But others say that he had displeased the leader of the Tolliver faction during the feud and that that accident was deliberately arranged.
Mm.
He begins his story to the audience with the maxim, guns and liquor do not mix.
Because either if it was an accident or orchestrated, that statement is still very true.
Right. Had he not been there mm-hmm. and had the people who were there not been playing with guns at the time, John Witcher might have lived to be a much older man.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the people in this show died young.
Yeah, they did.
By our standards,
absolutely.
I should
say. For a person in that time to have lived to the age of 60 was an unusual accomplishment. There are very few people buried in the cemetery who were over 60 years of age.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, the Dining with the Dead is going to be playing October 18th, 19th, and 25th and 26th at 6:30 p.m. You can get tickets online in advance at moorheadtheater.org. Tickets are $25 for adults or $20 for students. And this is kind of a different, this is a very different show, but this is performed outside. The show portion is outdoors.
That's right. We thought we had a remarkably unique opportunity to do something here since the cemetery is so close. Folks can park behind the Combs building and walk a few steps up to the cemetery. Seating will be made available for folks that might want to bring an extra layer or two, because when you're performing outside in late October, you're at the mercy of the weather, so it might be chilly. In the event of rain, we will move inside to the Arts Center for the drama as well as the dinner. But being able to perform on the actual location where the folks who are telling their stories are buried gives it a whole other dimension. I got the idea for this, by the way, from an event that happened in Lexington 25 or 30 years ago. There were some people interested in raising money to preserve an old, old historic cemetery in the heart of downtown Lexington. And they put together a very simple event in which folks would attend, bring a box lunch, and listen to people who were buried at the cemetery tell their stories. We've refined the concept a little bit, although I gratefully acknowledge that I borrowed the idea from those nice folks in Lexington.
It is a very interesting concept. I did see it the last time that you guys performed, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again. Again, October 18th, 19th, 25, and 26 at 6:30 p.m. at the Old Town Cemetery. That is behind the Combs building is where the parking will be for that. And you can get tickets online at moreheadtheater.org. We're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Enjoy a tasty lasagna dinner and concert by the MSU Choirs on Thursday, October 17th at First Baptist Church in Moorhead. Dinner at 5:30 p.m. followed by a concert at 7:30. Performances by the MSU Concert Choir, chamber singers, jazz vocal, and black gospel ensembles. Tickets $12 for adults and $8 for students. Proceeds support upcoming tours by the MSU Choirs. Lasagna dinner and concert by the MSU Choirs, 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, October 17th at Moorhead's First Baptist Church.
And we're back here on Open Mic, here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Mr. J.D. Reeder, the playwright and director of the Moorhead Theater Guild's newest production, which is Dining with the Dead. J.D., thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
Now, this show, obviously, is definitely going to be outside, and I know, tell me a little bit about the experience getting ready for a show. I mean, I would imagine since you're outside just hanging out in cemetery doing rehearsals, do you have people who just swing by, or has that not been an issue? They're getting a sneak peek.
Occasionally, we do have folks who pause for a moment as they drive by or walk by wondering what in the world 25 or so people are doing in this old cemetery that hasn't had a burial in it since 1903. Sometimes they ask, and we're happy to tell them, of course, because it helps to spread the word about what we're doing. The last time we did it, we did have a few folks who observed from a distance without paying the price of admission, but we didn't get too upset about that. We were kind of pleased that they were intrigued enough to linger and hear some of the stories that were told.
Right. And there are a lot of different stories that are told with this particular one, but it's not all tragedy and death in bars and children passing away untimely. There is some comedic aspects.
Indeed there are. There's a couple, James Thomas Lane and his wife Angeline. Mrs. Lane died in her late 40s, and when her husband tells about the loss he felt when he brought her there and buried her, it's very poignant, but she immediately afterward takes the sadness out of that because she reminds the audience that he didn't grieve very long. Less than a year later, he married a girl who was young enough to be his daughter.
Oh, scandal.
And there was a little bit of gossip that resulted from that. And she tells him at the end of her rather fluttery, frustrated commentary that she's so upset with him that if she could, she would move out.
Now, the place where this happens, it's over on Ashland Avenue, the Old Town Cemetery. It's so small that if you don't really know it's there, you could literally walk past it and not see it.
You certainly could. It's about a half acre of ground that was donated to the town of Moorhead in the early 1870s by the town's first significant landowner, a woman named Isabella Oxley. She also gave the land for the courthouse square, and she was a community benefactor in a number of ways. She's buried there along with many members of her extended family. Mrs. Oxley had a half dozen children who all had large families. There are Oxley descendants here today, and we hope some of them will be in attendance. Her story, I think, is one of the happier ones because she lived to be about 80 years old. She had an accomplished life that resulted in, I'm sure, being gratified in her old age with the accomplishment of children and grandchildren. As she says, when her time came, she was content to go.
Yeah. Those are nice stories to have, too. But if you want to visit the cemetery, you have to go up on, Fifth Street? Would it be? It's from a side street that comes off of Fifth Street, which has recently been turned into the direction you drive on Fifth Street is different.
That's true.
But it's kind of tucked behind Combs and...
It's behind Combs, behind Reed Hall, yes. Directly behind the Catholic Church.
Right.
Also.
So very close there. And really, you might not... I remember when I came to see the show before, I did not realize that it was there. I had no idea that that cemetery was there.
Yeah, in the cemetery's long history, there have been periods in which it was neglected and overgrown. I first became aware of it when I was a high school student, and at that time, it was so weedy and brushy there that you would miss it entirely. Of course, there was no Reed Hall in those days. It just looked like a vacant, weedy area behind the Catholic Church and with some residential structures around it. But every now and then, once every generation or so, it would get cleaned up. The city has assumed mowing and that sort of responsibility for it, and that's a good thing. Because if it's maintained in a good way, then that discourages vandalism and neglect and so on.
Right.
So it's back as an interesting part of Moorhead's history, and we think there are stories there that should be told, and that's why we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about some of the actors that are participating this time around. I know our own Keneally Roberts, who works here as one of our student reporters, is involved, but who else might we recognize if we're coming to see the show?
That's right. Well, Pam Hammonds, who is on the MSU library staff, appears as Mrs. Woolham, the great-great-grandmother of Johnny Bench. We have a playwright from Fleming County, Jim Colgan, who appears in the show as Jacob Maxey, a carpenter and building contractor who has very interesting things to say about building and about how builders are important in the ongoing development of any community, and that he raised all of his sons to be builders as well. The lady who portrays Mrs. Oxley is Gabriel Sexton. Gabriel is on the MSU staff as well. And then we have Joe Sartor, a name well known in the community, who appears...
Usually for painting, not...
Usually for painting, but Joe is a very fine actor.
Yes.
And he appears as Mr. Zara Daniels, who is a local farmer. We have this time the addition of a character who is not buried there, but who was the town's undertaker in its early years and who probably was responsible for conducting a lot of the funerals that are represented, Mr. Stephen Bishop. And he's portrayed by Larry Beeman, who has been a Theater Guild regular for over 20 years now.
Yeah, So familiar faces in different roles and the opportunity to see some local people trod the boards, but there are no boards.
There are no boards. In this case, it's the grass.
The grass. Okay, well, after the theater part of the evening concludes, everybody's going to go over to the Arts Center and have a little dinner. What are we going to be eating?
Well, Ashley Gillum, the director of the Arts Center, and her caterer, All Seasons, have put together a menu. There's a choice of soups. There's a choice of sandwiches. There's cookies for dessert. I think there's a salad involved as well as beverages. And folks will be seated at round tables in the Arts Center where they'll have an opportunity to mingle with actors in costume who can chat with them in character as they choose. after all that is finished. The Ghost Walk will involve stops at about 16 or 18 locations, both in town, mostly on Main Street and First Street, as well as some locations on campus. Particularly, a rather creepy story is told up in the vicinity of Eagle Lake about suicides and murders that occurred there long, long ago.
Before the college, I assume?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think it's interesting that there are, you know, we have students who come through and they already know ghost stories about things that happen on campus. And I'm always like, I'm not really sure that that's real. I think that might be an urban legend. So how did you get the information about the ghost stories that you'll be telling about, or the ghost walk information?
Right, exactly. The parts of it that deal with the locations on Main Street and First Street and at the lake are well documented and have been well researched and are easily established. There are other tales of ghostly occurrences in buildings on campus, such as Button Auditorium and Baird Music Hall and Nunn Hall, that have grown up without the same kind of verification that I've been able to do for the other stories. But they're fun to hear, whether they are entirely legendary or not. So we're going to include some of those, too.
Well, some of the best ghost stories are completely fabricated.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. And if you want to get tickets for Dining with the Dead, an evening with Mr. J.D. Reeder and some of the famous and infamous people that came from Rowan County, you can go online to moreheadtheater.org to get tickets. It's $25 for adults, $20 for students. That includes the play, dinner at the Arts Center, and then the ghost walk afterwards. A great evening of entertainment. It'll be October 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th, starting at 6:30 p.m. And that starts at the Old Town Cemetery, followed by dinner at the Arts Center, and then a walk through downtown Moorhead. It's not a vigorous walk, though. You're not going to make us go all the way up Eagle Lake Hill, are you?
Those who want to do that on foot may do so. I think this year I'll go up by car.
Yes, definitely. It is a wonderful, lovely place to walk, and hopefully the weather holds for you all in order to make it a great evening. But I know it could be chilly, so make sure you bundle up or bring extra blankets.
That's a good idea. And in the event we have a rainy performance evening, we can still offer folks the opportunity to participate in the Ghost Walk on another evening of their choice. If we happen to get rain on the day of the last performance, we will tell ghost stories inside, okay, which will be the next best thing.
Contingency plans in
right.
place already. Well, wonderful. Hopefully that holds. So if you want to get tickets one last time for Dining with the Dead by the Moorhead Theater Guild, directed and written by Mr. J.D. Reeder, go online, moorheadtheater.org. Performances are October 18th and the 19th, and again on the 25th and the 26th at 6:30 p.m. at the Old Town Cemetery is where that begins. You can get more information, again, at that website, moorheadtheater.org. J.D. Reeder, thank you so much for being here. I do really appreciate you taking the time to come down.
Thank you, Leanne, and for the support of MSPR in all of the Theater Guild's endeavors.
We do hope it is a wonderful evening at the theater. And for all our listeners out there, we'll see you next Friday.